Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we beseech and implore thee, cast us not away from thy presence. And be not wroth with all our ungodliness, appear unto us, O light of the world, to reveal unto us the mystery of the ways of thy salvation, that we may become the sons and daughters of thy light, who with the Father and the Spirit liveth and reigneth ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Well, the last time we talked about shame and confession, and there was some discussion about the difference between healthy shame and shame that comes from the devil. And I'm not sure I answered how to distinguish those, but as I was driving home, it came to me in a quote that I had used either in that lesson or the one before from Father Zacharias. He said this, so this is sort of an answer to that question. We know that the enemy is an accuser, but the idea is not to be afraid and to go down. Remember the inverted cross, right? And not to be afraid and to go down. And where he sees that we are going down, he leaves us alone because he cannot follow us, since his only desire is to go up and to set his throne above God. When we go down, he realizes that we are not of his spirit. We go down to the head of the inverted pyramid, Christ, to be united with him. So in essence, when the devil tries to tempt us, he will say, he will use shame the wrong way. So try to get us to either make excuses or to justify ourselves. Maybe the same thing. And these are forms of pride. So the enemy wants to get us to be prideful about these things rather than say, yeah, I did it. And I do a lot of things like this. And I don't like what I see, but it just is what it is. That's going down. The devil's way is to get us to justify or to explain. And therefore, we put ourselves in place of God. Remember Adam in the garden. What did you do? And he said, it was the woman you gave me. So he immediately made an excuse instead of owning up to it. Who knows? I've said this before, but who knows what might have happened for us and the whole human race if he just said, I really goofed up. But he didn't. So anyway, accept this, accept the shame and seek to learn from it. That's the key. And to go down to the inverted pyramid, the base of the inverted pyramid, rather than to justify and excuse ourselves. Now, I want to talk today about Father Zacharias' use of the words psychological and ontological. Now, he does at times use terms with which I may disagree. And, for example, I have to yield to smarter and more spiritual people than myself. But in any case, he uses the words natural and spiritual. And for him, what we're talking about is going into the spiritual realm. And without that is what he would all call the natural. Or sometimes he calls the spiritual the supernatural. I would prefer to say, and you've heard me say this in other lessons, that natural is the way that God wants us to be, and the way we are is unnatural. However, St. Paul agreed with Father Zacharias, not with me, so we have to yield to his usage. He knows far more than I do, and his distinctions are valuable, so we will use natural is the fallen state, and supernatural or spiritual is the way God wants us to go. He also uses to describe these two conditions the words psychological and ontological. And there's a contrast between the two, and I think it's useful because he uses the terminology a lot. So psychology refers to fallen logic, that is logic that is based simply upon human sin, and fallen functioning. Now, I've put up here on the board, and you may remember me referring to the three forms of knowledge. Knowledge that comes from God, which is God's revelation. Knowledge which comes from our logic, but is measured by God's self-revelation. And knowledge which comes from logic without any reference to God whatsoever. So psychology as a discipline, there's nothing wrong with it. It's like medicine. It's true. It's a discipline. It's from logic. It may even be from logic without reference to God and doesn't necessarily have to have reference to God. However, as a priest, I've noticed over the years that increasingly in the last few decades that the medical field is taking more serious interest in in clergy and the place of faith, whatever that means to them, in the healing process of people's bodies. So they're seeing outside their own discipline. However, science has all its own disciplines, and in and of themselves, they're okay. But when they try to answer or deal with things that are beyond their realm, then without their either doing this or this, they are out of line. And we as human beings tend to fall into this category. We think that God and the spiritual life is based upon whatever we think is correct. So we create our own images of God, and we wonder why they don't work. So remember what I said, this is orthodoxy. God reveals himself from the very beginning of the Bible. God reveals himself. In the beginning, God, he reveals himself. And so we take what he reveals to us. That's why we don't change things indiscriminately, because we mustn't change what God has revealed to us, and we believe it's revealed. And then secondly, from our logic, it's okay to sit there and speculate on things. What does this mean? But we measure it by what God has revealed. And this is, let me put a little bracket here. In terms of Christianity today, this is orthodoxy. This is the position of the Roman Catholic Church. And it's not necessarily a wrong one. In fact, we do this too. We do use logic, but we measure it by what God has revealed, but this most of all in orthodoxy. So it's important that we understand that perspective. What has God revealed? What has he shown us? And we see that through all the people in the church who get involved in this process, and they leave this legacy for us. We look to see what they say about this. So anyway, psychological can refer to the last category, from logic without any reference to God. The origin of the word, it comes from two words put together, psyche, which means soul, and logios, which is what is said or understood about the soul. So it fits that third description. We can say that psychological is for something, an understanding from logic. Now, if we are made in the image and likeness of God and we're meant to receive and receive the revelation of God and understand and comprehend it, participate in it, then how do we measure and understand ourselves without that reference? We don't. We come up short. But God wants to take us to a greater level. That's one of the things we have found, to the level of divinity of his life, and hence the concept of ontological. Ontological comes from a couple of words, on or on, sometimes ontos is one meaning being. What is? God is the ultimate is. And logia, what is said. So how do we know? How do we explain what is the person of God? What is? How do we explain the person of God without encountering him, experiencing him? See, theology is what we say about God, what we have experienced about God. Theology is what we say about that experience. This is what the church holds. And so ontology is about what is said about being, about the person of God, the reality in God. And it refers to the redeemed, revealed, deified condition of humanity into which we are to enter when we begin to recapture what was lost in the beginning. So psychological, limited to here, to ontological and how it affects us, it transforms us. See, that's why I say from logic, measured by God's self-revelation. So when we come up with science, comes up with new ideas, we measure it by what God has revealed. Remember when I talked about the cosmic eye, and we can see what science has learned about the cosmos so far, what they've learned. And we can look at it and we can say, that's it. That's logic. Or we can say, we can see and understand that God is outside that. He transcends that. So there's more to the picture than just the material facts that are leveled there. There's far more. And where did that come from? From us being in this situation where we see reality from here. And we measure it by God's revelation. That is the ontological entering into that process. We have to enter into it. It's not something we get logically. We enter into it. We experience it. We encounter it in our own beings. And hence, that's ontological. It refers to a change or an alteration within us, in our seeing, our understanding, our behaving differently. And it goes back to the Adamic state. This was the state that Adam was in the beginning. This is the way we were meant to be. Now, some of the concepts we've looked at fit into this category, or in these categories, so that the contrast of psychological versus ontological actually explains all these different phrases that Father Zacharias has used. For example, we looked at man as the target of God. God desires each of us, not just some of us, each of us, to be the vehicles by which he manifests himself in creation. Each of us. We don't get away. It's not, you know, I can blame you guys. You're supposed to be doing it, and I'm not. Forget it. It starts, as far as I'm concerned, it has to start with me. The target of God. And God knows how we are. So it starts with just as we are. So he targets us. He intends for each one of us to be these vessels. It can be argued from the basis of the New Testament that predestination means that every human being was predestined to be this kind of a thing, a vessel of God. And the elect are those who choose to respond to it, as opposed to those who do nothing about it. Knowing our measure, where we comprehend or admit where we are. The starting point of entering into this process is in knowing who and what we are and what we're like and where we fall short of this. And remember, sin is a falling short of the mark. It's not necessarily malicious behavior. We're in a culture that thinks that sin is malicious behavior. Well, we all know about what kind of sins we've committed where we meant well. I told you, one of my favorite Far Side cartoons is two guys being led to the fiery pit by a demon, and they're having a conversation. One of them says, of course you meant well. We all meant well. So, you see, meaning well has nothing to do with it. Well, it does, but I mean, it doesn't. I know this. I still have the remembrance of one time saying something to my wife, and I just thought, this is the most wonderful thing I could say, you know? And she was offended. Hurt, and I would never hurt this individual at all. And I'm sort of scratching my head, going, "Huh? What happened here?" There's an old joke that men in relationships are like a bug on the wheel of a car, and as the car starts to move and the wheel's going like this, the bug, as he sees he's going down, about to be smashed, goes, "Huh?" So that's sort of the way I was. Knowing our sin is falling short, so some of our best intentions can fall short. So it's not what we intended or what we thought, it's what is. Father Zacharias says, we find ourselves in a state contrary to nature and far from that which God proclaimed for us in the beginning. Knowing our measure, we have to admit that. And he goes on to say, when the grace of God strips man naked and reveals to him all his infirmity, all his poverty, this same grace gives him the courage to overcome it. How do we overcome it? But starting from where we are, knowing our measure. That's ontological reality. What about attracting God? It means learning to become receptive to the reality of his presence and what he wants in us. And not only learning how, but beginning to participate in it. For example, the forgiveness of others. And we're going to look at a text from next time from St. Nikolai Velimirovich on bless my enemies, O Lord. One of those things we do not want to hear. And yet this is a part of the ontological process, is learning how to do this. What about charismatic gifts? So we learn to identify and comprehend and respond to properly the gift nature. And I mentioned three things that he mentions a lot. Repentance, despair, and humility. The gift is that God transforms circumstances to experiences of Him if we allow it, and that's the key ingredient. He asks us to allow it. He transforms them. God works all things together for the good for those who love Him in Christ Jesus. And the three main ways are through repentance, true repentance, despair, enduring it and passing through it when we experience it, and entering in, being willing to enter into humility. Because He invites us to participate in His life. And what we learn from those is that when we do, we experience what Father Zacharias calls a communion of states. God communes His very being to us, hence ontological change. So you see, psychological, the way he uses it, is very limited. And as the reality is, our fallen nature has experienced it. And ontological talks about what can be when we become in God and begin to become what He meant us to be. Now, that's what we experience when we come here, at least we should. We should know that we're entering into this process. These are all aspects of an ontological change, and there's a sort of a journey here. And remember, I've said this before, that in the Old Testament, paradise and the human soul and the temple are three shades or three visions of the same thing. So when we say, we'll go onto the altar of God, it's like going to paradise. When we come here, we leave the world and we come into this place where God is. Not just in the sacrament, not just spiritually, but in the presence of all of us and each of us. God is. So to the ancient temple, they understood that God, this was the place where God appeared on earth. So when they went to pray, when they went to go, they sang psalms, and the journey was called the Aliyah, the going up, because it was, the temple was on a hill, and paradise is up, right? And yet it's in here too. It's a going up, it's a journey, it's a pilgrimage of the Aliyah. So there's a journey, there's a sense of movement from where we were to what God wants us to be. We travel from the fallen state to the participatory state. This is how we find our hypostasis, our personhood, the hypostatic principle. Father Zacharias says, from that moment of genuineness, man passes from the psychological mode of existence to the ontological. See how he uses the words, and they capture so much. He says, and these are just giving us some counsel, we have many energies, positive and negative, of sadness, tragic energies, energies of pleasure, noble energies that befall us, but we do not remain on that level of emotion. We exploit the energy they bring. We take the energy and direct the thought to God according to our needs, and we pray. So, we tend to confuse what is, the limited realm, with reality. A big mistake. Father Zacharias says, emotions really are an expression of the old man, and God asks us to divest ourselves of this old man and the emotions. We must convert these emotions, which are of psychological nature, into spiritual feelings and sensations. Now, I would just, as an aside, say here, the way he words this, we're not getting rid of we're transforming it. We're not getting rid of our emotions, we're transforming them. The passions are basically distortions of good things. We're trying to restore them to their goodness, cooperating with God's grace. Now, saying this, then, two things need to be understood. If we have patristic definitions of humanity, one is spirit, soul, and body. May have heard of this. This was big in the 70s in American Christianity, primarily a work by a Chinese Christian named Watchman Nee. But also, if you look at patristic writings, many, in fact, most, describe us as soul and body, with the soul having a spiritual capacity. this has become the viewpoint that is most prevalent in the church, the one the church uses the most. We are developing a spiritual capacity. And we do this by being willing to learn and practice the perspectives and activities that have to go with this. Remember, attitudes and actions. We have to think a certain way in order to understand what we're seeing, and we have to respond to it a certain way in order to open ourselves to it. All of this leads to us to an ontological state. Now, I want to read you something from Father Zacharias, which is sort of along these lines, but this has to do with specific. This has to do with not responding negatively to something. This is how we make these transformations. He said, suppose one of the brothers of a monastery says a hard word to me, and I receive the kick of his word like a sword in my heart. You've all had somebody say something like that to you. You know what he's talking about. This is hypothetical. But let us assume that he said this hard word that offended me, and I felt it like a sharp knife in my heart. I cannot avoid this pain. The pain is real. There are two ways of reacting. The psychological way would be to say the following. This is how we do. Father John, I have done so much for you. I've prayed so much for you. I've received you with so much love into our community, and I've always cared for you. How ungrateful. You are not a good man. This is a bitter reaction, but this is how we react in the world. This kind of reaction destroys me. The best way is to realize that through the pain, though the pain is real and I can do nothing about it, I can change the thought immediately and converse with God. I can lift my mind up to God and say, Lord, you have seen me in the sleep of despondency, in the sleep of death and negligence, and you have sent your angel to wake me up. Have mercy upon me, upon him and upon me, and forgive me all my sins. That's the difference between psychological and ontological. And that's where we need to go. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Knowing what we're dealing with. If we really know our measure, it's scary. Because we know that God's dealing with people with limited hands, limited decks. I've got some cards missing. I can tell you that right now. In any case, as Father Zacharias says, man offers his limited and transient life to God, and God in return grants him his limitless and eternal life. Wow. Now, the next time I want to look at four texts which clarify all of this. One is the prayer of blessing for enemies by St. Nikolai Velimirovich. Some of you are familiar with this. You can actually get it online, I think, or read it online, but I'll print something out and give it to you. The second one is a portion, one small section of St. Silouan's Adam's Lament, because in it, he laments the fall of humanity, which in essence is a greater picture of lamenting his own sins. And then I want to look at one chapter from Lamentations, which is supposed to lament the fall of the temple, but you can see how it affects, it looks at, remember those, the threefold meaning there, the temple, the soul, loss of paradise. And so you can read it and lament the fall of humanity, the fall of the temple, the fall of the individual soul, my own. And lastly, I want to look at a litany of humility, which is a very, very powerful litany. It was put together by a Roman Catholic Monsignor in the 19th century who used to pray it. These were his private prayers before and after he said Mass. And they really do, you know, I wouldn't normally use a Roman Catholic prayer, but I would use this one. It's very, very good and very poignant. It's a wonder he didn't become Orthodox. I don't know why he didn't. So close. Anyway, questions? Yeah, I know this stuff is deep, but I'm just remember just to take it, let it simmer, and wait and see what happens. Yes, sir.
So I guess just to try and put it as simply as I can, the typical Western mind wants to understand and then be. And what you're saying is that we need to be, and then understanding will come from that.
Yes.
Okay. And that's uncomfortable.
Sure, it's uncomfortable because we have to wait on it.
Yeah. Well, that, but then also, especially because of the fallenness of human nature, like doing something without understanding it feels unsafe. Like it feels dangerous. The point of saying, okay, I'm going to do this purely based on you telling me that I need to do it, even though I don't understand.
But you do it all the time because you go day by day doing what the society around you says to do, what the medical field tells you to do. We all do it. If they say there were 9 planets, we all believe it, right? They've changed their minds. But now, wait a minute, now they're not so sure. There's some rethinking of it. It's not so sure. I like that because, I mean, if you look at the cosmic eye, you get out to this and you think, wow, it's pretty impressive what science has learned. And yet I remember a time when it was only our universe. And we didn't have all that knowledge of that time out there. It's in my lifetime. So what are we going to learn? And what is the medical field constantly learning? New and new stuff. I had a grandfather who died from heart trouble before they had bypass surgery. You know, so how long would he have lived? So the knowledge is constantly changing. So, but we believe it. So why can't we do this at a greater level? And it's more effective. We do it all the time. So, but I understand we do. And I think it's because we feel like we have some control over it when it fits our logical pattern. And when it doesn't fit our logical pattern, then we don't feel like we have control. We don't like that. Yes, ma'am.
Since we are also made with the nature of like rationality, how is it then that we like how? What would it be to logic virtuously, like in this correct way? Like, how are we to be rational in an ontological way?
Good question. How are we to be rational in an ontological way? Number one, accepting what God has revealed, using that as the guide for our knowledge, and then living that to the best of our abilities. Using all of these concepts and terms fit together. So, you know, my way of, I've been at this a few years, perhaps longer than you've been alive. So, you know, I have some time advantage going on there. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it might. We do it that way. We accept what God said. We have to start with, we don't start with logic on the basis of what we understand, but what God has revealed. And that's why it's a turning. Remember when I told you we come to God with our backs to Him. And one of the things you have to do in repentance is to turn around. Repentance means to turn around and face God and see Him as He reveals Himself. So that's where all logic starts. So if that revelation says God is one and three, then even if our logic says, I don't make any sense of this nonsense, tough. It's not the starting point, is making sense of it. So don't tell me that we in Islam have the same God. We don't. Because Islam denies vehemently the doctrine of the Trinity. And that's what we have received from God. The doctrine of the Trinity. God is three in one, one in three. That's a starting point. And it goes against our logic, because our logic wants to side with anybody who says one God, just one.
Yeah, the discomfort that you're talking about and the discomfort that I have, we all have, is the discomfort of being transformed by the renewal of our mind. Our framework is being changed. We come to God infinitely with a completely broken framework, right? There's no way around there being some discomfort in that. And we're either uncomfortable with one of two things. We're scared of what God will show us about Himself, and equally scared about what God will show us about us. And yet, hear this, both are bearable. And that's what Satan doesn't want us to believe. That what God reveals about Himself or what God shows us about ourselves is actually bearable in Him until we're changed.
to clarify, the discomfort that I was talking about is more being taken advantage of by other humans. Like in the church that
vulnerability
before.
Yep.
The just to do it and don't question it mentality was perilous.
Oh, yeah.
And so to
because it was twisted.
Yes. So I'm here now and I feel more trusting of the Orthodox Church because of the way that it's structured. I've trusted a little bit and it has worked out. It's
a hard transition.
Yeah.
Well, and they're whipped nor measure, remember? So each of us can accept something like that at varying levels. And I would say that probably every one of us has some level at which we want to start from what makes sense to us versus what we can control. It's just a matter of how much and how much we've worked off some of that business. To give you an example, I was reading yesterday, and it was an accident that I found this, but it's always bothered me to read someone like Father Zacharias and some of the saints when they talk about us doing such self-examination. It's almost as if they're fixated on their own, on themselves. So I thought, how does this gel with God so loved the world? And you know, but the church says that. So the Eastern Rite is more fixated on that language because it's more monastic oriented than the Western Rite is. Western Rite is more parochial or parish oriented. And that's a long story, another story, so I don't want to go there. But in any case, you see it in the Eastern Rite as well. The prayers, I like to do the prayers of preparation for communion Saturday night, Sunday morning, before I come, the Eastern Rite prayers. And they focus a lot on us seeing our sinfulness, the details of it. And I thought, where do they get this stuff? Well, I just happened to read from St. Paul to the Corinthians this morning, and I say it was an accident because what it was I read an old lectionary that had a lesson, this lesson assigned to it for the epistle for today. And so then I checked with the lectionary, who doesn't have the same one, but one of them has this as an option. So I think, you know, that's why I had to read it, and that's what my mind took off. I had to understand. In any case, St. Paul was to the Corinthians, "Of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities." Now, maybe because I've been buying what the church says, I'm seeing things differently, but yeah, that's the point. If it's good enough for St. Paul to keep looking at his infirmities, why isn't it for us? So anyway, I know that just a little aside. I just found that the letters to the Corinthians, I mean, in a much different way. Yes, ma'am.
Kind of clarify what I wrote down, make sure I understood right. What I understood that you said earlier, I mean, besides trust and just accepting it, if somebody insults us, instead of responding like we normally would, we try to pray.
Yeah, pray for them, yep.
And ask for mercy.
And pray for God to help us to see and respond to the situation righteously. Rather than seek revenge and, oh, I'll get back at you, I'll teach you, you know.
Can I give an example on that? Because I thought about that as soon as you triggered me. No.
Feeling guilty there, Father?
let me deal with it. Deal with the body of Christ, Father. Our Lord taught me that concept when I was about 27 years old. I was the worship leader at our church, and someone evidently gotten upset with the way that I did something. So they wrote a letter, and we had our worship committee meeting, and the person who was the head of the worship committee starts reading the letter. What do you think's going on in me? The steam level, right, is going up. And right as soon as I was going to almost get out of my seat and explain, this is what the Lord put on my heart. Put your hand over your mouth. Listen to everything the person says. And there is some of it that is not of me, and you can discard it. And there is some of it that is from me, and you need to become.
God is using others, even when they come against us. And for us to listen through the emotions, to listen through the emotions, because God, it's a gift from God. It is a gift from God. I will hear him and I will hear what I can discard and all will be well. That's what Father Zacharias is talking about, what Father was alluding to, and that answers your question there.
Yes, ma'am.
Having studied Corinthians all week for the reading, to me, what I got out of that is that we're all the same. We're all completely the same.
We're in the same
Hebrews, so am I.
Yeah.
Are we Israelites? So am I. And at the very end, you know, when it says, and God knows I didn't lie. You know, that's what I got out of it, was we're all the same.
We're all in a heap of trouble. We're all in a heap of trouble. We're all in a fix, as we say in Texas. We're all in a fix. Every one of us, yeah. Years ago, I had a situation where I had to be a bad boy in the parish and ask some people to leave the church. And it really, it just, my name was and this was when I was in Burleson, and my name was denigrated throughout the Fort Worth area. And I got very reactionary from that. So when someone would say, Father, I need to talk to you about something, I immediately thought the worst. I thought, oh no, you're going to tell me more things I don't want to know or what I don't want to hear, or I'm going to be forced to go into another situation. It took me years to get out of that. Because what I learned was every time somebody called me or came by to see me unexpectedly, it was not what I expected. So that's one story. The other one is that when I went to Wichita Falls, I was told there was one woman in the parish who would cut my throat the minute she got a chance. So I automatically had the negative attitude about her. Well, it turned out she was real introverted and also very objective. So she didn't mind telling somebody what was on her mind, but it took her a while. So she and I wound up becoming close friends. And when we left the Episcopal Church to become Orthodox, she came with us. And she's still up there. So, you know, it just, I expected the worst out of this situation because of what I'd been told. And that was my old nature reacting to the situation. The same old nature that got all uptight when someone said, I need to talk to you. And in fact, the situation wasn't anything like what I thought. And it took me a while to enter into the ontological process whereby I let God reveal. You know, so what if it's negative? Maybe I need to hear it. I'm learning that now. I didn't know it then. So, you know, we come here. Remember, we're leaving the world and coming here. So we come with the understanding that we're going to be affected by this. If we're not affected, we don't expect to be affected by this. Why are we here? We stay home and be more affected by relaxation and not doing this. Or listening to me, for that matter. You know? Or Father Zacharias, because he just gets us in trouble, as some people used to say. In any case, I'm sorry. Next time we'll look at some texts that relate to this. Thank you.